Did you see Four Corners on the ABC last Monday night? It was about the plight of the grief-stricken carers and the burden they carry looking after their disabled loved ones. What a bunch of whingers. I mean, let's do a reality check here. But first, some facts drawn from the most recent federal budget. According to the Department of Families, Housing, Community Services and Indigenous Affairs, there are 483,550 people in Australia who are cared for by someone in their immediate family or who qualifies as someone needing care. There are only 439,600 people who actually receive a carer's payment. That means there is a shortfall in the carer's workforce of 43,950. In other words, there is a real skills shortage in the home-based carers industry. I'll return to this a little later. In the Four Corners program, there was very little reference to the captains of industry who, if we believe the media, government spokespeople and other spin, are the real drivers of the Australian economy. These hard workers survive in a very competitive market, and there are few who can do what they do, increase wealth like they do, and who sacrifice so much for our economy. But do we hear them whinge? No, of course not. They get lobbyists to do that for them. Let's have a look at the real differences between what carers have to do and what our CEOs have to put up with. Firstly, let's look at the benefits each enjoys. How many CEOs get to spend the whole day, every day, with those they love? I would think none. They don't have the opportunity to slack around the house in their pyjamas and grab coffees whenever they feel like them. Our hard-working CEOs are woken by reminder calls at 5 a.m. and have to get out of bed and take a shower, dress in their suit and make their way downstairs to where the cook has prepared breakfast for them. At 6:10, their chauffeur picks them up and drives them to the airport, where they are met by their PA, who escorts them to the flight club. After checking their emails, they board the plane and take their seat in first class. The first contact they have with their family is when the nanny sends them an email via her BlackBerry. When the CEO arrives at his destination, he is met by a limousine and ferried to his first meeting. By the end of the day, he has had 4 50-minute meetings, lunched at the most exclusive restaurant in town, been helicoptered to at least one meeting, and is now reclining in first class, sipping on a scotch. By the time he gets home, his children will be in bed, and his wife will probably not get home from her fundraising meeting until after he is asleep. Given that this is only Monday, he probably won't see the tin lids and misses until Sunday, the week after next, as he is due to fly to London tomorrow to close a new deal. And he does all this for a measly $1 million a year plus $20 million in share options as compensation. Now, let's look at the carer. She too is up at 5 a.m, looking for the intubation tube because Freddie seems to be fitting again. All the noise he causes wakes her husband, whose first response is to shout for her to close the door to Freddie's room. By 6 a.m. she has had her first coffee, and her daughter is up watching the telly because she has learnt that Mummy is not her best before school. Hubby is up and getting ready for work, but remains silent, as usual. She makes sure his lunch is packed and his soup is in the thermos, with the lid on tight. He blew his stack yesterday when it leaked all over the ute floor. At 7 a.m. she puts a bowl of cornflakes before her daughter, kisses her on the cheek and wishes her well at the school sports day. She does this because for the next 2 hours she will be bathing, changing pressure sore bandages and feeding her son. At 14 he's getting heavier to lift and she reminds herself that she must make an appointment with the masseur. At 10 a.m. she is still in her PJs as she puts out the daily washing. She thinks to herself, at least the sun is shining. By the time her daughter gets home from school at 4 p.m, she has had to change out of her PJs as Freddie had one of his projectile vomiting attacks, and she, along with what seemed half his room, was plastered with the sticky, smelly contents of his stomach. Hubby gets home at 6 p.m. and sits down to his dinner. He seems chatty, and she realises that he must want sex, because that's the only time he asks her how her day was. And because she loves them, she is content with the $50 a week carer allowance. Now, having established the facts, who would you rather be? Easy, isn't it? The carer. You're home all day, get to see your family when they get up, get to be with them when they go to bed, and best of all, you don't have to get out of your PJs until someone throws up on you. Other benefits include not having to travel, being able to instantly fix any problems around the house, and being able to enjoy the sunshine rather than being stuck inside climate-controlled conference rooms all day. Okay, you have to forego the big dollars, but surely being able to spend every waking minute with those you love is priceless. I mentioned earlier that there are 43,950 people who need caring for and whose carers don't receive the carer's allowance. This means they are scabbing off the rest of the carers and putting them out of work. In a market where there is a shortfall in workers for a particular industry, the wages of those in that industry rise. It's simple demand and supply economics. It's how the CEOs work. There are more businesses that are willing to pay them multi-million dollar compensation packages than there are CEOs. So naturally, they have a closed shop and ensure their compensation deals are lucrative and huge. I suggest the carers take the same approach and get off their high horses and stop expecting taxpayers to give a toss. Firstly, the carers need to organise. They need to out the scabs who are preventing them from progressing up the corporate ladder. The 40-odd thousand who aren't part of their collective are making them look bad. This group are doing it for nothing. Imagine what would occur if CEOs suddenly decided they would work for nothing. Or even worse, take a pay cut. The carers should write to the government and ask that a special task force be established to root out these bludgers and get them on the $50 a week allowance immediately. Once they have achieved that, they need to hold a convention in which they invite high-profile celebrities to run workshops on how to retain your beauty when you're starring in a period piece set in the grimy 11th century. After the convention, they can take their butcher paper notes and produce a glossy booklet on the jobs they do and how they can still look good even if they're covered in something resembling the contents of a pig's stomach. Finally, they should engage a high-profile PR firm to sell their message to the rest of us. It could be along the lines of, look what we can do for love and save the rest of you a fortune. I think it's also about time the carers recognised that most CEOs sacrifice more, if not as little, as they do. Besides, it's not a competition. Just like the CEOs, the carers have chosen their lot. They could have paid a high-priced lawyer to relieve them of their contract and taken up a new opportunity. Instead, they chose to stay. I say to the carers, stop your whinging and get a life. You don't know how well off you are. Besides, not only are you saving us money, you are ensuring that the grief you constantly feel doesn't interfere with your or our CEO's productivity. I'm Shane Elson. Thanks for listening.